All right. So Kayla is joining us today. We're so excited to finally have you on. And we met Kayla at the Upside Down Con, which was super fun. But you went to a few shows on the tour, right?
Yeah.
How was that?
Very fun. I think I told Stacy this a long time ago, but I got the Joe meet and greet on Sunday at the Upside Down Con, and I asked him a question about Stranger Things because, of course, because he's here for the Stranger Things Con. But I also said, "Oh, I heard you're going on tour. Like, I've heard there's chatter this weekend. Like, you said you're going on tour." And he's like, "Yeah." And I said, "Oh, make sure you come to like Portland, Oregon, or Oregon." And he's like, "Yep." He's like, "That's the first stop." And I'm like, "Oh." And then
Look at Joe
he
spilling the
goes,
beans.
"Shh."
I
And I'm
love
like,
it.
but then yeah, I fast forward, he comes to Portland first stop, and technically kind of in the US. And then yeah, then there was two shows, and then the tickets went on sale that day. And then they said, "Oh, three shows." And I'm like, "Perfect. I'm already here with all my money. Like, take some more of it." So I got those three shows in Portland, and then Seattle's like a three and a half hour drive from where I am. So I'm like, another road trip. So we went there too.
You know, we're helping the economy. That's how I look at it.
For sure. Yeah, that's awesome. I'm glad you had fun and you got to like kick it off. Last year, he took all my money at the Upside Down Con. This year, he's taking all my money on tour, but
I wonder what's
it's
next
worth
year.
it. Right, exactly.
What would you say, Kayla, was your favorite show? I know it's hard to pick, but which one really stood out to you?
I have to say Seattle. I don't know why. Portland, I feel like, I mean, he was super good in Portland, but I felt like he was very like reserved and like kind of nervous. I don't know if it's just because it was the start of a big tour. I feel like Seattle, he was a little bit more like warmed up, and yeah, there's just a lot more moments and stuff I liked a lot, so.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, he was definitely, I'm sure, like he had Laneway, but it was a different experience, like playing his own tour, I'm sure. So I'm sure it took him a little while to kind of get comfortable. And then his energy like ebbed and flowed throughout the tour, I think. But yeah, all the shows were fun in a different way, I'm sure, for
It
everyone.
totally
So
looked like it.
yeah.
We were talking, like, Megan's like one of her favorite songs is Egg, and he premiered that song at Boston. She told me, she was like, "I'm kind of happy I got to hear it the second night, because like the first night sounded remarkable, but you could tell he was a little nervous. It was his first time, and the second time he was kind of like, all right, I'm in the
I got
flow, so
this.
I
Yeah.
get it, you know."
Yeah.
So jealous of that. But he sounded like identical from the videos to the recording. I was like, oh,
Yeah,
like that's crazy. I
crystal
want to see
clear
that.
voice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think he takes a lot of pride in that. Like he takes a lot of pride in his recordings and making things sound really great. And he wants to be able to like replicate that on the stage. So like just the fact that I think Egg, some of those songs live were even better than the
Oh,
recorded
yeah. Oh,
version.
totally.
Like Egg with like he added more of the like, are you gonna let fear take that? Like more of that at the end. And it's like I was talking to somebody about how like it makes you wish that like that was actually on the recorded version. Like, and we've talked about I've talked about with a couple people like really wanting like a live album, which I think would stress him out so much because he's such a perfectionist, but like it would be really cool to hear like
I
a
want the
live album.
12-minute version of Figure You Out.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and
Oh
with
yeah.
all those little like
Those little flares,
extras.
yeah.
Yeah.
Seattle was so good. Figure Out was really good. I thought of you, Stacey. I'm like, oh, she's gonna like that.
It's my song,
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was funny because I guess the set list was a lot more in flux at the beginning of the tour by the shows that I went to. This he played the exact same songs every single night. Like slightly different order in Denver, but then it was basically like the last four or five shows, other than adding Egg, it was like pretty much exactly the same. But
Play Ugly Fisherman.
Stacy, every episode, like you need to make a sign at like one of the festivals.
Play Ugly Fisherman, you cowards.
Well, the bummer part was too that with the Portland shows, it's because the album came out the night, one of the Portland nights. So it's like we didn't get to learn the songs, kind of. I mean, we knew basic and stuff, but we didn't get to know the songs really good. So I felt bad, but one of my favorite things during Seattle was we were seeing Roddy, and I love Roddy. I mean, that's how I found, you know, his music and stuff like that, his first song. And I was singing that, and he caught on. I was singing it, and he just started like smiling, and you could tell he was so happy, like, you know, that people knew the lyrics.
I told Megan, this man never gets sick of seeing people actually like know his lyrics.
Yeah,
because you can tell he's just so floored and so like grateful that people are singing along to words that he wrote.
Yeah.
So just seeing like him in awe at every time he catches like eye contact with somebody singing along, you can tell it makes his night. It's just it's so pure. It's so
it
pure.
Makes my night too.
Yeah.
That, right?
Yeah. That must have been a really cool experience for him, like throughout the tour as he like moves across the country, the album is out for longer and longer, because by the East Coast, the first half of the crowd knew all the words to all the songs.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I believe it. Yeah.
And it was so much fun. And he kept like commenting on it. Like one night he was like, oh, you guys made that really beautiful. And I think he was talking about Fly. And then one night he was like, oh my gosh, you guys are all great singers. Like, you want to go to Europe with us? Just, it was just really cute. Like, and I could tell, you could tell that he was just like so grateful that everybody knew the words to his songs. And speaking of songs from the new album, Kayla picked some good ones to talk about today. So we are pumped, because literally these are two of my three, like everybody knows Egg is my favorite, but these are my other two favorites from the Crux. So I'm really excited. So what are we going to listen to first?
Let's just do Lonesome, since that's the first one.
Chronological order, yeah.
And it's the first song on the album, and I love that it's the first song on the album, because I think it just sets the tone so well. So the way this works is we'll stop the recording. We're going to listen to half of the song, and then we'll come and chat about it, and then we'll listen to the rest and chat about it again. Initial thoughts.
Well, I thought it was going to be like a slow kind of like like the beginning starts, and then once it hits that part we were just talking about, it's so good.
I cut it off right before the chorus, and there's that build up, and it's so fun. But it is, it has that slower sound at the beginning, and I feel like, did you go to a listening party, Kayla? Mm-hmm.
Lucky.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just remember the first moments of like hearing this, and I'm just like, this is different. Yeah. His voice is very raw, like very authentic. It's just like him. None of that like vocal effects that he has done on like the other albums a lot. And it's very acoustic. So, and it has that fun little like twinkly part that I love so much, because I think it sounds like dancing in the moonlight.
When we did that episode, I was like, high five to Megan, look at that.
But yeah, it's just a complete shift from like his sound like before this album.
And I like that this was the first, because it's such a like, it's such a departure from Decide, that this is like right off the bat, you know, this isn't going to be like his usual stuff. And just that song, the you're welcome, everyone. It's very haunting and beautiful. And like, at least what I got out of it was like, I feel like it's a song about coming to terms with a loss. Let it be a breakup, maybe a shift in life, like a change, like a new job or something ending, a friendship or anything, you know, a massive change. And it's almost like you're mourning the life you could have had this breakup actually worked out, had this person lived and stuff. And it's him kind of like talking about what life was like before and now what life like was after. That's at least what I'm getting out of it.
Right. Because it's that line, the future's not what I thought. I think I thought it wrong. So it's like you said, coming to terms with things being different, the reality being different from what you thought it was going to be.
Yes.
The line about the dog, man.
That gets Stacey every time.
Yeah, no, I kind of thought the same thing. I thought it, not only when Basic Being Basic was the first single, I thought, okay, this is different. This is different from Decide and 2020 for that matter. But I also, it doesn't sound like it, but Personal Lies always, it reminds me of more of the Crux for some reason. I think it's a little bit more like upbeat and like different than what the other ones were about. I picked this one too, because it's just, I feel like the lyrics are just the lyrics of all this whole album, I feel like, is been like a lot, and it's so like really real, if you will.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's kind of nice and refreshing, because I mean, it's hard to, I mean, I'm nowhere compared to him, but I feel like people like want to see your life and what, like, want to know what you're doing, kind of thing. And I feel like he's kind of like, okay, well, here you go, like, here it is, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
No, I think that's a good point. Like, these lyrics are very straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about some of the lyrics that he's written in the past. Like, you can kind of see what he's going for, but like, it's kind of like, there's like coded sort of meanings, and like it sort of gets a little deep, where like these are very like straightforward, like it is what it is. Like,
Megan, you were the one that told me, and this like blew my mind, even though it's, I guess, kind of obvious. Like, the first half is basically a breakup album. I'm going through this massive shift in my life. And then the second half is like the friends and family and people he could lean on that helped him get over this and, you know, start fresh. And literally, I'm like, what? And you're like, he's leaving the Crux Hotel. He's not trying to get in. He's climbing out. I'm like,
I think he said it in an interview, too. Like, I could tell that he, the first half was more of like that sad, like, breakup, heartbreak.
Right.
Megan's a sadist. She actually says she prefers the
Kayla
first
said
half
she does
when
too.
He's going through it. You two are sadists.
So, but I love the meaning for like back on you and like golden line. I love Gap Two Smile for some reason. Not some reason.
It's so
but
good.
You know,
like,
but yeah, no, I like the first half better.
Yeah. Yeah. Same. But I feel like I have not listened to all of this album with like headphones. I remember listening to the first few singles, but like I don't know that I ever really noticed that like truck starting and like the engine running. Like that was really cool.
Yeah.
The sound effects that he puts in is incredible. Like stuff that like, because I listen to this on surround sound, if you're you guys with the listening party or on your radio, when you listen to it on headphones, like you can actually hear like his sisters doing backup and all these different like lyrics that you wouldn't typically hear, and these little like different dabs and little things of flavor that he added in. It's really cool. It's a different experience for sure.
All right, let's listen to the rest of this song, because I feel like there's so much more to discuss. All of his albums have such great like transitions like that too.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's so funny. Kayla was just saying that she expected to like hear Basic Being Basic start as soon as it stops.
Get food. Barely eat.
Yeah. I hate it. My sister puts it on shuffle before and I'm like, no, Charlie's Garden is not next.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, the Crux is like, you can't listen to the Crux on shuffle.
Yeah.
It's so funny you guys said that, because when I was on my way home from work today, I was like, you know, driving and trying not to look down at my phone. So I hit the album, but it hit shuffle and it threw me off so bad. Right away, I'm like,
nope.
What? Yeah, no.
But this song, like we talked about, the chorus that just like builds, and it's just so
it's beautiful.
Fun. Like,
yeah.
So upbeat and peppy, and like I think it starts off a little sad, because like we said, like you're kind of coming to terms with that like change in your life, but I think ultimately it's like
pick yourself up, dust yourself off,
acceptance, right? And like
it
like I have to like take this time for myself, like.
And there's some beautiful lyrics, like the whole, and I guess he said in an interview his mom really liked this lyric.
Yeah.
Turns a scar to a seam. I'm like,
yeah, time,
you poet,
so
time
good.
It
yeah.
takes an edge and grinds it clean, turns a scar to a seam. Like, it's gorgeous.
That's crazy.
Dr. Seuss. Like, I couldn't rhyme that good to save my ass. Like, man.
There was also, we were talking about more of the sound effects with, like, the camera clicking and...
So good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love the line 29 and misaligned.
Yeah.
Like, I interpret that maybe at the age 29, either that a huge life event happened to him and his life shifted, or you could look at it as that's the end of your 20s. You're now about to be in your 30s. And so many people are like, oh, yeah, you should have your shit together by the time you're 30. Me and Megan laugh in our late to mid 30s.
Yeah.
So I just feel like it's almost like you're at a crossroads again. and you feel misaligned, you feel out of place, you don't know, especially if it is the end of a relationship or a death or a major life change, you kind of feel misaligned, you feel out of place, and you don't kind of know what to do with yourself. So he did some really beautiful things, but I love the lyric, show that kid to the door, almost like you're going to let that part of yourself, maybe your 20s, your teens, your younger self, or the person you once were, when that person was alive, when you worked that job, when you were within this relationship, you got to let that go and now move on and almost like grow up, dust yourself off. That's what I got out of it.
Yes. That's what I got to a T pretty much too. Yeah.
Yeah. I just thought of this just now, guys. So on the album, you know, he's like hanging out of the window. You're not lonely when you're hanging with yourself.
So good.
Ass first, breaks the fall. Yep.
I'm obsessed with that, like, part of the album cover. Just climbing out of the window.
So, I love the reverse thing of him looking through the window.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
That killed me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. So good.
All right. Link.
Love this song.
So much. Like, it's so fun. Again, like, same with Lonesome. Like, I just feel like it makes me so happy to listen to.
Oh, yeah.
So
it's a song that gets you, like, pepped up and stuff. I said that it was my second favorite off the album. And I was telling Megan earlier, Kayla, probably your mom will know who I'm talking about. But it sounds very much like Rick Springfield's I've Done Everything for You, Love Somebody, or Love Is All Right Tonight.
I know those songs.
Look at you.
I love like, the 80s.
This is why I adore you. No, I was a massive Rick Springfield fan. I went to go see him when I was 16. That's how I spent my sweet 16. And I remember my mom was like, okay, you know, but I was telling
Megan. Was he old at that point? Because that video you sent me, he was pretty hot.
I mean, like, he was looking pretty good for, you know, older gentleman. But right away, I sent the music videos to Megan. And Megan was like, oh, my God, he's kind of giving Joe vibes. And I was like, his career was very similar to Joe's, that he started off in kind of like an independent underground band. Then he was like, okay, well, I'm going to become a soap opera star and like a movie star. And he acted for a while, and that gave him the means to go back to music. So right away, I kind of like associate Rick a lot with Joe, but like just the beat and kind of the hook reminded me of those songs. And the same with Shake It Up by The Cars, just kind of like almost like this like hype up song, you know, like Centerfold by Giles Band. Just very like, this is a hype up song. It's very happy and stuff. And I just love how high his voice gets when he does the second, why do I feel so bad?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I love that.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. No, but when I listened to this at the listening party, this was the one that stuck out to me. I felt like this was the one that was like, oh, I like this. It was like really like jumpy and like kind of like, I like more like kind of upbeat stuff like that. So.
Yeah, it was so fun live for sure. But also, I feel like just the meaning of the lyrics is pretty cool. And I have some other thoughts about like some of the ones that we haven't listened to yet. But like, it's it was funny because in the Spotify listening party, a bunch of people were like, Joe, did you really graduate top of your class?
Oh, I saw
was,
that.
Like, absolutely not.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm going to like, do a little Stranger Things connection. We try not to too much on the Joe episodes, but a lot of them were talking about how ending Stranger Things kind of felt like graduating. So I kind of just today when I was re-listening to it, like made that connection. Like this is almost just like any like transition where you come out of something kind of at the top of like your game, like on top
why
of your game.
Why do I feel so
but, like,
bad?
Why do I still feel like shit?
Yeah.
Like, so maybe that's kind of like the story he's telling here. Like he's going through a transition. It seems like he should feel like he's on the top of the world, but like he still feels bad.
I'm picking up what you're throwing down. What I kind of got out of it was it's about a crossroads, like a great change when you find yourself stuck, like almost in a cycle. And I'm thinking like maybe it was around the time he graduated, okay, college, and he's waiting tables. Remember, he was like, I was miserable, like I was booking little gigs here and there and stuff. And then he got his big break with Stranger Things. So he kind of liked the chain of just doing the same thing every day, you know, at the grind. He had his big break, and that was him breaking out of the chain.
The punch Boom. In, punch out. That's like the punch card kind of thing, right?
Yeah, and then, like the work.
Same ripple jeans.
But
yeah.
The other part that was like standing out, which is kind of like in the chorus, it's like, you must do what's right. Mm-hmm. I always do what's right. It's almost like an internal conversation, mm-hmm. black and white. But I think I see a different side. Yeah. Like there is, it's that like kind of fighting against like what's expected of you, which is also that line, like toe the line. Like I like had to look up what that means today because I feel like I heard it, but it was like, kind of basically just doing what's expected of you. And it came from like either like soldiers or like sailors like yep. having to like, yeah, like go to the line and put their toes on it to like be in order or whatever.
And I'm sorry, how deep his voice gets with the, you know, come on. Like, you know, he sounds very much like Tom Petty. Like just, oh my God, what he can do with his voice is incredible. And that's just natural. Like that isn't him using the bells and whistles.
Like we saw it. We saw him do it on stage. Like he had such a fun time singing these songs and like was, like doing it. Like
that man.
All right, let's listen to the rest. All right. So these are like the other lyrics that you were talking about, like the punch in, punch out, bad foods still swallow. Same ripped old jeans, blind leader I'd follow, like just kind of like that monotonous, like doing what's expected to you, going with the flow, just not really almost just like that conforming like theme. Forced conformity. Yeah. That's what's killing
Thank
the kids.
You, Megan. Yeah. Okay. Yep. You picked up so I was struggling. She got me. Yep.
Oh, very Eddie Munson song, I guess.
Yeah.
ripped old jeans, man.
And
Eddie.
Whenever he does the break, like, first of all, sounds very much like the Cars, but it's so good.
I like when he chews Am I Just Another Jam Man? Don't listen to him, just listen to me. I like that song. Or I like that part
and
of
his
song,
voice
yeah.
goes up a pitch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Delicious.
Yeah. I was trying to like, I like the Cat's Cradle line, and I was like trying to like figure out if he was just referring to like, you know, the little game that we played as kids
or the song.
Yeah. What's the, who sings the song?
Is it the Cats in the Cradle? That one?
The Silver Moon.
I don't know who sings
it. I'll look it up.
But I know which one that is.
Yeah. It's also a Kurt Vonnegut novel. Like, I don't know, maybe Joe's reading some Kurt Vonnegut, like...
Look at you, man.
I'm not a reader. Ask me about music, but I'm not a reader.
It's from Harry Chaplin in 1974. May I say, the siren effect? I listened to this in the car for the first time ever. It scared the shit out of me. I literally, like, went, and I looked at my rearview mirror, and I'm like, son of a bitch, Joe, you got
me. There's a couple times, it's like when you're listening to music, and you, like, turn it down, and you're like, no, that's not a siren. No, that's not somebody calling me. No.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Is somebody taking a picture of me? Like,
is that the frog starting up?
Yeah. Is that a sword?
Yeah. Somebody said, somebody
is that the Curie twins laughing?
I love this song though. And we talked about, I guess, like the chain too, like Fleetwood Mac, ooh, right?
Oh.
Like, yeah.
Man. You want to get a white girl just real revving to go at a bar? You put on the chain. I was with Billy once at a bar having an argument, and it just started on the jukebox, and I just stopped, and I went, the chain! And he went, what is the matter with you? Like, I am like that anytime I hear that. So I think that was maybe his little homage to, you know, that, definitely.
Yeah, because there's a lot of lyrics in the songs that kind of reference other songs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because we, like the... Under My Thumb, we said was a song, and then like The Long and Winding Road,
yep.
Like that's another lyric that he has on the album. Like, I feel like there's a decent amount of like lyrics that are references.
Yes.
So maybe you're right with the Cat's Cradle thing, like that's a reference to the song.
Isn't it like a sad, it's like a sad, like kind of like.
It's so depressing.
Your dad,
it's basically about a guy who never spent time with his kid.
Yeah.
And then he gets older and he's like, you want to spend time with me? The kid's like, middle finger is like, deuces, mm-hmm. it's depressing.
Yeah, being sad.
That's why I think it's the string game, but we'll just agree to disagree. All right. Well, this was
so fun. I know.
I love these songs so much. And it's just fun to like listen to them with friends and chat about them. Like, we love that. So
I feel like I could yap all day about this. I always feel bad for Stacey. I'm like, I send her way too much stuff. She's probably sick of it. But
oh, no, it's serotonin, baby. I love it. Please talk to you all day long.
I just can't wait for the Europe shows, because I feel like we'll finally get some new stuff. I feel like it's just
that
been
boy
so
in
long.
Ireland, like, just imagine.
Right.
I know.
Very excited.
Yeah. He's going to have so much fun, and we'll be able to watch from afar and enjoy.
From afar across the pond.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Until he comes back. Are you guys shocked that he was doing another part of it, especially in the
U.S.? A little bit. Yeah.
I feel like they didn't expect it to be as successful as it was. I think they knew mm-hmm. it was going to be successful, but not to this level, because the fact that he was selling out venues that could hold 3,000 people, you know, it's done very well. So, I mean, it just goes to show you, you know, successful at acting, successful at singing. And I can only imagine like what his future tours are going to look like. So very excited.
I know. So we think it's going to, it's obviously a different tour, right? So it's going to be like somewhat different.
I think they'll change it up. I think they'll change it up a little bit.
Gasoline, you cowards.
I
think the festival shows will be interesting because I think those will be more similar to like Coachella.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With like the set list. Yeah, and Laneway. But then the Another Bite tour, I feel like he'll probably keep like the staples that have like, you know, gone really well on this tour, but maybe change it up a little bit. Well, it was fun to chat.
Yeah, I know. Same to you guys. I'm looking forward to it. So.
Right?
Yeah.
Yes.
We'll have to have you back again sometime to talk more Stranger Things.
Yes.
Because I know you're a big fan too.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Kayla. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
I think, what do we say, Stacey?
We say peace out.
Okay, peace.
We suck at these outros.